maybe you've hit a home run with it.
Maybe so. I hope so.
There is a concern over rising gas prices after a major U.S. pipeline shut down its operations. Today, the company announced they hope to have the issue fixed by the end of the week. What this means for you. WRO News at 6 starts now.
Your number one source for local news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
What an afternoon. We've seen tornado warnings, severe thunderstorm warnings, and the threat of more severe weather will linger for hours. This is a look at the radar as storms move through the area and a live look at the dark clouds now hovering over North Hills. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. I'm David Crabtree.
And I'm Deborah Morgan. Boy, it has been a busy day. The biggest threat so far, damaging hail, some up to 1 inch. Meteorologist Mike Mays is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center, also keeping a close eye on some high winds and heavy rain. Mike?
Yeah, very heavy rain, Deb, coming through the area right now. And that warning that Kat told you about the last half hour has expired. The polygon hasn't disappeared just yet for Wake County. It will shortly, but that warning no longer in effect. Let's zoom in and see what we've got going on. Western Chatham County, some heavy rainfall. The cell that's over Raleigh right now has a potential for half-inch hail, which is not considered severe hail. Winds up gusting up to 40 miles per hour, the potential. We have another thunderstorm we're watching in Franklin County, just south of Youngsville and Franklinton. That is sliding to the southeast as well, and these will likely stay in the area at least through 10 o'clock tonight. We do have that severe thunderstorm watch, including Raleigh, Goldsboro, Fayetteville, points in between till 10. Damaging winds, large hail, maybe an isolated tornado. We did see that warning earlier. And here's Futurecast, and as we go through time, it's a broken line that slowly settles to the south and east. 7 o'clock, broken line from over toward Randolph County up into our northeastern counties. 8 o'clock, we still see that around, and it really doesn't clear out of the area till 9 or 10 o'clock tonight, so that's why we think the threat for thunderstorms will continue through that point, and then the activity will slide out of the area, and we do see improvement as we head into the overnight. Now, coming up in less than 15 minutes, a cooler period with more rain possible. Outline that coming up, but right now we're going to go out to the WRAL storm tracker. Amy Wilmoth is in Apex along 64, and I understand there's some police cars around.
Right. The rain is coming down really heavy here. I'm on 64 East in the Apex area, and you can see that it is really coming down heavy, and it's starting to pile up on the side of the roads. And so I've counted 4 cars that are involved in what I think might be an accident, although that first one and then the second one, then you have the cop car, and then I'm going to pan back. There's a couple more behind the cop car, so it looks like there's 4 vehicles. I think everyone's okay, but just keep this in mind as you're traveling out and about this evening. Get under one of these downpours, and there is ponding on the roadway. You got to take it slow out there. I know I've hit a few of those spots, and it kind of makes your knuckles white as you're driving in some of these really heavy downpours. I'm going to send it back into Mark with more on the storms that have been impacting the evening commute.
Amy, we have certainly seen a good amount of hail in some parts of the viewing area. It all started in Greensboro. And looking at the hail tracker right here, just south of Chapel Hill, that's where it started coming down a little bit ago. On your screen, we can show you some viewer photos. And this right here is just one example of how it quickly accumulated. And then you have the rain and the hail mixed in as it moved through the area and still dealing with it in our areas north of Raleigh and off to the east. And we'll leave you right now with a look at the Duke Energy power outage map, and there are plenty of them out there off to our west. About 6,000 customers in the dark right now in the 6 o'clock hour. Closer back home to Raleigh, we look like we're in the clear. We'll continue to monitor that and any changing conditions here in the live center. Back to you.
Yeah, those storms are still out there. Make sure to download the WRAL weather app for live radar updates and alerts about severe weather.
Amazon making headlines again today. The company bringing 500 new jobs, nearly $100 million worth of investments to Smithfield. The e-commerce giant is building a 600,000 square foot distribution warehouse at 70 near the Johnston County Airport. WRAL Sloan Heffernan was there when the announcement was made this morning. Joining us now live from Smithfield with how much the jobs are going to pay and what incentives were offered to Amazon. Sloan?
The starting pay is $15 an hour, and those jobs can't come soon enough. A lot of stores closed here in Smithfield, and the economy went downhill in the 90s due to the loss of tobacco and textiles. Officials here are hoping that Amazon delivers more than just a warehouse. They are banking on a rebirth.
Construction is already underway on this piece of farmland along U.S. 70 in West Smithfield, the future home of Amazon.
This is an opportunity to kind of change the tide a little bit. So instead of people getting in their cars and having to work in Raleigh or the park, they've got opportunities right here in their own backyard.
We're excited to welcome Amazon to Smithfield.
Smithfield leaders and Johnston County commissioners announced the Amazon deal at a joint meeting.
All in favor say aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carries.
They approved a tax incentive plan that will provide Amazon with more than $5 million in tax rebates over 7 years.
They have to pay their taxes, and then they get a grant back on a percentage of what they actually paid in.
Even with the tax rebates, town leaders say Amazon will become the second largest taxpayer in Smithfield.
We had nothing. That was empty land there, and that empty land don't make a lot of taxes.
Amazon will need to build the distribution warehouse and create the jobs before receiving the rebates. An economic study shows Amazon's overall economic impact will be roughly $97 million.
This is a great move, and it's only the first. Amazon will be only the first. We got other people interested in other things. In 10 years, it'll be hard to recognize Smithfield.
Officials believe Amazon will be just the spark this small town needs.
That distribution warehouse will be built down the road from here, just outside of town. It won't happen overnight, David. It's slated to be complete December 31st of 2022. Back to you.
Sloan Heffernan reporting live. Sloan, thank you. And WREL's investigative data journalist Allie Ingersoll is here with some context to what seems like good news on the jobs front. Allie?
Yeah, David, along with that Amazon announcement today, Apple is bringing 3,000 new jobs to Wake County. Google is adding 1,000 in Durham. Those announcements seem to indicate our post-pandemic recovery has legs, but we still have a long way to go before we completely rebound, especially because many of those jobs will not be here for years. The newest report from the State Commerce Department from March shows non-farm jobs are significantly lower compared to now than where they were a year ago. The Raleigh metro area has 15,000 fewer jobs than it did in March of 2020. And that number is 9,000 fewer for the Durham-Chapel Hill area. Now, leisure and hospitality appears to be the slowest to rebound from the pandemic's impact. In Durham, employment is down 27% in that sector alone. So what jobs are doing well here? Well, business and professional services, as well as trade, transportation, and utilities have seen year-over-year growth.
Allie, thank you.
Well, they hope to have it fixed by the end of the week. That's the word today from the Colonial Pipeline Company we've been telling you about. It was brought to a standstill after what appears to be Russian cyber hackers attacked. Here's the bottom line when it comes to gas prices in North Carolina.
I wouldn't panic just yet.
Experts say if the 5,500-mile-long pipeline is not fixed in the next couple of days, that's when gas prices could go up locally. We do know fuel from the pipeline in our area mostly goes into storage. That's why experts say gas prices have not immediately jumped. RDU tells us it also uses the line and currently has an 11-day supply of jet fuel. Seeing what happened to the Colonial Pipeline begs the question, if hackers can do this, what else can they do? WREL's Amanda Lamb spoke with the experts on this topic today, and she joins us now with what she learned. Amanda?
You know, Deborah, what I learned is that we are all part of the solution. It's all happened to us. You get an email with a strange attachment. You get a text message on your phone from an unknown number, and you click on it, and then you have a problem. You could infect your computer or your entire computer system with ransomware.
Ransomware is basically extortion. They lock the computer and lock access to personal files that are on that computer and say that we're not going to unlock it until you give us some form of monetary payment.
And just like that, one innocent click on the wrong thing can turn a simple link into digital blackmail.
We have definitely seen upwards of 2,000% increase in the number of cyber attacks that have happened throughout the pandemic.
Cybersecurity expert Neil Bridges tells us with more people working from home under less secure systems, the problem has become rampant. The Colonial Pipeline situation shows us how vulnerable we are to attacks on other infrastructure, like our electrical grid or water supply.
From a state perspective, that is one of our biggest concerns.
The state's chief risk officer, Maria Thompson, tells WREL the North Carolina Department of Information Technology is working with state and local partners to prevent attacks here.
What is core for every citizen to understand is that they are a part of this whole cyber ecosystem, and that we rely on them as the first line of defense.
This defense includes updating your virus software, changing your passwords, using multi-factor authentication, and only opening attachments and links from people you know.
One of the things that we always preach is making sure that you're cognizant of the emails that you're clicking on. Make sure that you trust the source of that email.
And I think the thing that resonates with me the most is changing your password. It's so easy to fall into the trap of not doing it or using passwords that are very easy to trace. So I think we all could get better at that. And these are some really good tips to keep us safe, but also our companies safe when we're working somewhere and we're using their platform. Deborah?
Absolutely. It can be so easy to click on one of those texts or emails and you're so unsuspecting. Amanda, thank you. In-depth coverage of the pipeline cyber attack ahead on NBC Nightly News at 6:30. Then on WREL's News at 7, we're going to talk more with Neil Bridges, the chief content officer with Cary-based computer training school, INE, about how this happens and what it means for cybersecurity as a whole.
And coming up on WREL News at 6.
They're getting them 110, 115 miles an hour.
WREL Investigates hits the road where more and more drivers are putting the pedal to the metal with deadly consequences. Plus, state leaders are calling the plans dangerous. Why North Carolina and dozens of other states are urging Facebook to stop its plans to expand Instagram to younger users.
We continue to follow these storms that are rolling through the triangle as we speak. The WREL storm tracker now in Cary. You can see the heavy rain in this area. Take it easy if you are out on the roads. And Mike, as we throw it to you, we're going to look at the WREL gardens right now. Heavy rain coming down, and you said you just have a warning just coming in.
Yeah, we have a new severe thunderstorm warning. Sorry to cut you off, Deb. Southwestern Nash County, East Central Wake County, South Central Franklin County. Severe thunderstorm warning is in effect. Let's go to Weather One. This is until 7 o'clock this evening, and the potential with this storm is 60-mile-per-hour wind gusts and quarter-sized hail. Now, this is the cell that Kat was watching moving through Franklin County. Had a history of producing some penny-sized hail over the northern part of Falls Lake. This will be impacting the Bunn area, Pilot, and eventually getting into Nash County. It is moving to the east at about 25 miles per hour, and again, 60-mile-per-hour wind gusts and quarter-sized hail. I have more on this and the forecast in just a few minutes. Deb?
Mike, thank you. David?
We've all seen this, Deb. Lockdown frustration, less crowded roads, and it's been a deadly combination statewide. WREL Investigates' Cullen Browder joining us live on I-40, where it looks like the rain has slacked up a little bit there, but he has the data behind pandemic speeding. Cullen.
Right, David. So we heard from viewers who complained about drivers not only going fast out here, but hitting dangerous speeds. So we researched traffic records, talked to local law enforcement, and did some speed checks of our own.
Dodge Charger 80.
3404 station. They're getting them 110, 115 miles an hour.
While the pandemic slowed most everything down,
I've seen from 80 up to 118, 120.
The past year seemed to speed up excessive speeders.
Why is this happening?
You get that mindset of there's less cars out there, there's more freedom to do what I want, but there's not.
State Highway Patrol First Sergeant Chris Knox readily acknowledges traffic stops and citations fell off more than 30% in 2020.
We were in a bad place. I mean, we were having to figure out as an agency, how can we keeping our roads safe while keeping our people safe.
Even with that reduced enforcement, those caught exceeding the speed limit by 25 miles per hour or more jumped 35% from more than 35,000 citations in 2019 to almost 43,000 in 2020.
One passed me, it was right around 100 miles per hour.
There needs to be severe repercussions for that.
Nash County Sheriff Keith Stone invited WRAL Investigates to ride with deputies running traffic enforcement on US 64 to see the high speeds firsthand. Within minutes, they pulled cars for running in excess of 80 and 90.
Everybody makes mistakes, but these repeat offenders over and over and over, they're a danger to the motoring public.
After Apex Police recently caught a driver doing 158 miles per hour on 540, yes, 158, we spent several hours in different parts of the day with our own radar gun on 540 and 40. While most drivers traveled within sight of the speed limit, that wasn't the case for everyone. On the Beaver Creek Commons overpass above 540, cars flew by. 88s, 89s, several 91s, and even a 95. Overall crashes dipped by 14% across the state in the lighter traffic, but troopers point to the extra high speeds for the 12% spike in traffic deaths. 1,655, the highest traffic fatality count since 2007.
What is it going to take for the public to get the message on excessive speed?
There has to be a real initiative put forth with it.
Sheriff Stone doesn't see that happening. Despite his deputies pulling speeders and chasing more than he's seen in decades, he argues courts couldn't keep up during COVID. He pointed us to repeat offenders who get right back on the road again and again.
I think that, you know, the delayed in the court systems, the pleading the cases down, that there's more and more of this going on.
High speeds can end with a high price. With COVID more under control, expect to see more of this enforcement on our roads.
There has to be swift, sincere punishment for these violations.
Now, the Highway Patrol is planning on ramping up awareness campaigns along with enforcement out here. But keep in mind, David, the number of troopers out here on the roads has not kept up over the past several decades with North Carolina's population growth.
What an amazing story. I'm thinking 158 miles an hour, and the Highway Patrol was able to find that person to go even faster if they had to. Just stunning and crazy. Cullen, thank you.
We see the water on the roads, and some of these areas are seeing some really heavy rain coming down, making it really difficult to see. Let's go back to Mike in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. Mike?
Definitely some dangerous driving conditions across the area, Deb. And we have that new warning. Wanted to run through that again. It's for parts of Nash County, southwestern Nash County, east central Wake County, and also south central Franklin County. Severe thunderstorm warning in effect until 7 o'clock. The potential is for quarter-size hail and winds up to 60 miles per hour. Right now, the worst part of the storm is moving out of Franklinton and also Youngsville area, and will head over towards Spring Hope and also Middlesex, and then eventually will be making its way toward Rocky Mount. This is all with our cold front that's moving through the area. So let's pan back to the west and see what's happening over downtown Raleigh. Heavy rainfall moving over downtown right now here at the TV station. We could hear it on our roof. It was coming down heavily, and more rain over toward Pittsburgh and then south and west getting or eventually making its way toward Moncure. If you're watching from Holly Springs, Fuquay Varina, New Hill, over toward Duncan and Calibiate Springs in Harnett County, this will be likely making its way to your area, and there could be some penny-sized hail. Here's a broader view. It's not widespread rain. Not everybody's going to get wet, but our cold front's coming on by, and it brings a cooler period. Our high today was 81. Tomorrow, only 69 after a low of 54. Mostly cloudy, a 20% chance of light rain in the morning. 60% chance of rain on Wednesday. I'll show you in a moment where that's coming from, but we have the potential to be really chilly. Our normal high, 79. The potential for 58 for the high on Wednesday, which is the record low high, I should say, for the day. 49 the low, 44 Thursday morning with partly cloudy skies, 69 the high. And this is the system we're watching coming together that'll bring the rain here for the day on Wednesday. So let's check out Futurecast starting at 11 o'clock tomorrow night, looking at partly to mostly cloudy skies. So the Durham Bulls home opener is expected to be dry but cool. Make sure you have something to keep you warm if you're heading to the game. But here's the rain at 5 a.m. Wednesday morning. Notice how it shifts in. And it could be a widespread rain. So everybody pretty much from the Triangle area south could be looking at a widespread rain to start the day on Wednesday. Wednesday at 10 a.m., we're seeing that rain still in the area. By 2 o'clock, it begins to taper off and move out. And if we have clouds the better part of the day or the complete part of the day, it could stay in the upper 50s for our highs. So it's early thunderstorms moving out of the area by 10 o'clock. Overnight, 20% chance for shower, mostly cloudy, 54 in Raleigh, 57 in Fayetteville. And tomorrow is mostly cloudy, far cooler than today, 68 in Raleigh, 69 Fayetteville, 67 for South Hill. Your 7-day forecast, again, a cooler period between tomorrow and Friday. Highs well below normal. Again, 79 is our normal high. This coming weekend, mid-70s for Saturday and Sunday. Perhaps another chance for rain by Monday. Kat, we'll have another radar update coming up at 7 o'clock on our news then. If we have a new warning, we'll break into programming to tell you about it. David?
All right, Mike, thanks so much. Chris Lee here now with sports.
Well, the Carolina Hurricanes are playing their season finale tonight for the regular season. There's still a lot to play for. Next in sports, hear from Rod Brindamore and also Jordan Stahl as the Canes prepare to play for the team that they're about to face in the first round of the playoffs. That's next in sports. Tonight is the regular season finale for the Carolina Hurricanes. The President's Cup, which is given to the team with the most points in the NHL, is still a possibility, but there are other things to consider as the playoffs approach. The Canes are taking on the Nashville Predators tonight. It's a team that's already set to play the Canes in the first round of the playoffs. So the Canes still want to assert their dominance so that Nashville doesn't gain too much momentum.
The end result, and it's weird to say in this game, is probably not that important, but the process is make sure we're doing it right.
I've said it before, anyone that makes playoffs believes that they can win it, and I'm sure they're no different. And, we're going to have to, like I said, bring our best if we're going to want to win, and, the boys will be ready.
Carolina Hurricanes take on the Predators for the final time in the regular season. The puck will drop at 8 o'clock tonight, plus we'll have much more for you tonight at 10 and 11 on WRL and Fox 50.
We know you will. Chris, thank you. And thank you for joining us on this busy Monday. NBC Nightly News is next with new details into the pipeline cyber attack investigation.
Then join us on WRL News at 7. We'll bring you up to the minute information on the possibility of severe weather and these heavy showers that are moving through. It actually looks like it's clearing up a little bit right now in downtown Raleigh. Good to see. We'll see you at 7.